your advisement. Not an easy one. Case number 8, 112838, Smith versus Astru. Hello, Mr. Schultz. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. May it please the Court, Your Honors, Barry Schultz on behalf of the plaintiff, Thorne Smith. Ms. Smith's first argument is that the ALJ made a basic error in a technical but very important legal requirement in her case. Under the medical vocational guidelines, if Ms. Smith was unable to perform her past relevant work because she was over 50 years old, if she was limited to performing sedentary jobs, then the ALJ would have been required to find her disabled. In this case, the ALJ relied on a vocational expert, and she asked the vocational expert two hypothetical questions. The error is that neither question asked the vocational expert to limit her response to including only light exertional jobs.
Is it your contention that in order for the vocational expert's opinion to be relevant, the VE had to consider whether jobs existed for someone who would need to keep her leg elevated?
Well, that's a second issue. That is one of the issues. That's actually a second issue.
Yeah, I know, but
in the case,
the one that I'm really interested in.
Yeah, sure. yes, Your Honor. The ALJ made a finding. The ALJ did not ask the vocational expert about a claimant who needed to elevate her leg. The evidence, I think, is clear in this case that Ms. Smith's condition, this arterial venous malformation, causes swelling, and that any time any doctor saw her, her leg was swollen. The ALJ made...
So could I just ask you, though, where's the medical evidence that suggests that the need to elevate the leg is a continuous need, ongoing need, not just something that's post-op or, you know, just for a little while.
Right.
But this is a forever condition for
right.
her.
There's no medical evidence of that. I mean, all we have here is when she was released from the hospital, she was told to elevate the leg, and then she told her doctor in a follow-up visit that she was still elevating the leg. He doesn't say, well, you don't have to do that anymore, but he also doesn't say you should continue doing that. And then she testified that her leg was swollen most of the time, and she had to elevate it in order to alleviate some swelling and pain.
So, but the observable swelling is something that the records are quite consistent about?
Yes.
Even though they describe it in one of them, as I recall, as asymptomatic?
Almost asymptomatic. But I think
by which they mean what? You have like a hugely swollen leg, but it's not... doing anything?
I don't know.
You?
We don't know what Dr. Shah meant when he said it was almost asymptomatic. I think that she wasn't limping when she walked the 50 feet that he had her walk, that kind of thing. But mm-hmm. what the ALJ doesn't do is address the situation that if Ms. Smith, as she testified, was elevating her leg most of the time, and if she was not standing and walking very often, even when she went shopping, I think the evidence showed she could do it in 15-minute intervals, that her leg wasn't more swollen or more symptomatic because she wasn't on her feet and she was elevating her leg throughout the day. I think we pointed out in Social Security ruling 96-7P, it states that an ALJ has to consider reasonable explanations, which include, is a claimant structuring their daily activities so as to minimize their symptoms? So a person who doesn't have symptoms during a one-time consultative evaluation, the ALJ has to consider their testimony that, well, they're elevating their leg, and that keeps their swelling down. If she had been on her feet for a long period of time, Dr. Shah's examination may have been very different, and that really is a key question here, is, you know, did she need to elevate the leg in order to keep the symptoms down?
So who had the burden, though, of getting some sort of solid medical evidence into the record on that point?
Well, because the claimant was unrepresented, I think that the ALJ had some duty in this case. In fact, the ALJ told the claimant in advising her on her right to have an attorney that if she didn't get one, the ALJ would assist her in getting medical evidence. But at no time during the hearing did the ALJ suggest to Ms. Smith that she should try to get an opinion from her doctor to corroborate her testimony that she was needed to elevate her leg. Nor did the ALJ seek the opinion of a medical expert or a consultative examiner and the ALJ could have sent a letter to the claimant's treating doctor and asked him, does she have a need to elevate the leg in order to alleviate her symptoms?
So I take it there's actually no evidence on the other side either to the effect that, you know, leg elevation required for 1 month, now she's fine.
That's
no
correct.
More need.
That's correct. Nothing. That's correct. And what we do, what the record does show is that the claimant has a condition that causes chronic swelling. So there's no question that she has the swelling.
The AV formation, yeah.
And even when Dr. Boskov, the primary care doctor, said that her swelling was improved, her edema was 3-plus edema. And I believe 4 edema is the most one ever has. So even though it was improved, it was still, you know, quite swollen when the doctor saw her. Additionally, the claimant testified that she had significant problems using her hands. And the ALJ found that she had rheumatoid arthritis, which was a severe impairment. And yet the ALJ has no analysis in her decision as to the claimant's ability to use her hands. She mentions that the plaintiff testified that she was having trouble with her hand. And then that's all. There's no discussion of it. Yet most of the claimant's testimony at the hearing actually was about problems using her hands. Now the commissioner argues and points out that much of the evidence as to the problems Ms. Smith had came from a period prior to her alleged onset date.
So I have a somewhat different question. If you look at the ALJ's opinion, I'm looking at page 3. The ALJ acknowledges that the rheumatoid arthritis is a problem. That's the only severe impairment, though, that the ALJ identifies. A little bit of discussion about carpal tunnel, which I'm not interested in, and fibroid problem I'm not interested in. What I don't see is anything about the arterial venous malformation. So is that a problem at all, or how does it fit in with the ALJ's analysis?
Well, the ALJ mentions it in her summary of Dr. Shah's examination. She does mention the condition, and she does recognize the swelling.
Right, but she doesn't seem to focus in on that physical condition as something that's yielding this disabling swelling.
That's correct, Your Honor. And I think that's part of our argument concerning the elevation of the leg was that the ALJ doesn't mention any of the testimony that goes along with that diagnosis. There's a lot of testimony. The plaintiff submitted a number of forms that Social Security required, and she was consistent, as was her husband, in every form, that after standing a little bit, she had to elevate her legs. While sitting, she had to elevate her legs. The ALJ doesn't discuss any of that evidence at all in her decision. Thank you, Your Honor.
Hey. Mr. Martin, good morning. Good afternoon. Good morning.
John Martin, representing the commissioner. I think one of the problems that the court is having with this case is that there is very little evidence in this case. This is a person who alleged disability as of December of 07. She didn't see a doctor. There's no care at all. Prior to that, before that, the most recent care is August of 06. August of 07. So she alleges disability and stops working in December of 07. She says the reason is that her hands were bothering her. And then there's no care until she is hospitalized in May of 08.
You know, I really understand all of this. On the other hand, the ALJ's assessment of her need to keep her leg elevated consists of a one-sentence paragraph in which the ALJ concludes that she didn't need to do so. And I don't understand how that's sufficient. I mean, isn't the ALJ required to at least explain why she determined that Mrs. Smith and her husband weren't credible when they testified that indeed she did need to elevate the leg constantly, particularly in light of the medical records that do exist that noted the problems with both moderate and severe swelling?
Well, that I think is the problem, though, Judge, is that there really are not the medical records.
Well, but there are. There's this Elmhurst Memorial Hospital record when she was discharged 5/16/2008, which says elevate right lower extremity when sitting, and it doesn't say stop it at any time. There's a record, let's see if I can figure out who this is from, again, Elmhurst Clinic, saying edema, location leg, the severity is described as severe. Then there's another record, that's Boscoff. And there's another record also, I think, from Dr. Boscoff, again repeating lower extremities, the severity now this time is moderate in this one, but the theme does seem to carry through these records. Need to do further plan. She's trying to has support tights, trying to elevate leg when possible. This is not a record with zero evidence.
No, it's not a record with zero evidence, but I think if you
so
look at it.
So why is the ALJ's comment in the face of even what I've just referred to enough to grapple with this evidence when we add to it her husband's testimony about her daily activities, her testimony about her daily activities?
But the records that you're talking about, there's the three-day hospitalization. That's in May of 2008. She sees Dr. Boscoff, who seems to be her treating doctor, for two very brief visits. One, I think, is still in May of 2008, and the other one is in June of 2008. Then there's no treatment at all until she sees our consultative examiner, who's Dr. Shah, and Dr. Shah makes the comment that you referred to earlier, which is that the leg, while swollen, is basically asymptomatic.
But what if that's because, suppose it was a pill she was taking every day instead of elevating the leg. There are, you know, let's take blood pressure medication. There are medications that if, as long as somebody's doing the right regime, the blood pressure is under control, and if they stop taking the pill, it soars up. Well, in her case, it's not a pill. In her case, it's keep your leg up. Keep, you know, the heart below the level of the leg so that the swelling can be less painful and under control. But if she stops doing that, goes to work 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, has to be in a situation where she can't elevate the leg, then it's like not taking your blood pressure pills, isn't it? I mean, that's why that would fit together with all the evidence. But we don't know that that's what the ALJ either thought or rejected.
I'm not sure it is the same situation, and she is doing other things. She is wearing the support hose.
It's like physical therapy, I would say, and physical therapy is sometimes an effective way to treat things as long as you're doing it, but if you stop doing it, then it's not, of course, going to help.
Right, and that, I think, is a problem in this case, and it's one I think was identified earlier by the court, which is she was told this when she left the hospital in May of 2008. After that, there is really nothing affirmative from either Dr. Boscoff, whom she saw three times after that, or from, well, that's really the only treating doctor she saw.
Right, and so what we do seem to know is that she's told elevate the leg. She does elevate the leg, and she doesn't stop, and that seems to be working. Now, no one said to her, don't elevate it for a month and come back and let's see how painful your life is, you know, but that seems like a strange requirement.
No, it would be a strange requirement. I think what just impressed the ALJ here was that she didn't seek a lot of treatment. She had
those
two.
Well, what if elevating it was effective?
No.
Why would she
okay.
go in?
No, I understand that, but she did. She just had the two follow-ups with Boscoff. She has a consultative examination, and that's really the examination that the ALJ focused on. That's really the only examination in the record that's in any way definitive. Because if you look at Dr. Boscoff's statements, Dr. Boscoff is basically saying things like, they're one or two sentences. She's doing much better. She's wearing support hose. She continues to elevate her legs. There's really not much there. Shah does give a fairly definitive report, not only about her lower extremities, but about the other conditions that she has. And
what
says
if Shah
she's doing
had actually
well.
Said, given the fact that she's elevating her leg very regularly, as reported by both herself and her husband, she is not experiencing any deficiencies in her walking and her ability to get around? Would that seem like a different case to you?
I don't know how the ALJ would have reacted to that. Whether the ALJ should have included a limitation on that, I think the ALJ thought she was accommodating this need by assigning the claimant the sit-stand option. Now, I think we can debate whether it would have been better to just say elevate the leg or I'm giving you a sit-stand option. But, again, looking at the record, so she sees Shaw in September, and the next month our state agency reviewer, Dr. Pilipil, looks at the record. That doctor is supposedly looking at the entire record, should look at the entire record, does not advise to elevate the leg, does give two other limitations. I think one is avoid ramps and stairs, which would seem to, again, address the lower extremities, and also says avoid extreme cold.
But it doesn't get things above heart level.
No, it doesn't. But all I'm trying to say here is that that doctor gave two limitations in addition to saying she can do light work, and the ALJ adopted those pretty much verbatim and added the sit-stand option, and I think that in the ALJ's mind accommodated the need to elevate the leg or at least the problem she was having with her lower extremities. So if there aren't any more questions, I will ask the court to affirm the ALJ's decision in this case. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Martin. Mr. Schultz, how much time does Mr. Schultz? 2 minutes.
A couple of things, Your Honors. The state agency doctor was not asked whether or not the claimant needed to elevate her leg. He filled out a form and he checked off boxes. That form doesn't include a question of whether leg elevation is necessary. But he does say on the form that she's partially credible because of the swelling in her leg, but there's no conclusion reached as to what she might have to do because of that. Also, Mr. Martin raises actually an interesting point for the plaintiff, because the ALJ found that Ms. Smith needed a sit-stand option at will. But again, there's no explanation of why she found that Ms. Smith couldn't stand or walk or sit for long periods of time. She might need to change position frequently, but yet didn't find that she doesn't need to elevate her leg. She clearly found an impairment that causes some symptoms and limitations, but there's no analysis at all of why she found the particular limitation for a sit-stand option, but no limitation in terms of the need to elevate the leg. That's all I have. If you have no further questions.
Oh, my. Thanks to both counsel. What a nicely argued case. Thank you.